Anybody in transition this morning? Gee, wow. Nah, none of you people. So I'm preaching this for the benefit of those listening on the internet and those around the world. We're going to talk about a fundamental principle of God's kingdom this morning. If you've been to Bethel for any period of time, you periodically heard me teach this word, but I just felt it was branded on my heart for this morning. We're going to talk about leaving and entering. We're going to talk about a fundamental principle of change that we see all throughout the Bible, leaving and entering. And I've got one text, and it's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 23. And it says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore unto our fathers. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." He brought them out in order that he might bring them in. Say that with me. He brought them out in order that he might bring them in. Loved one, all of life is leaving and entering. That's the first point this morning. All of life is leaving and entering. You leave the womb to enter into life. You leave your infancy to enter into your childhood. You leave your childhood to enter into adulthood. You leave singleness to enter into marriage. You leave your school to enter into the workplace. All of life is underscored by this fundamental principle of change, leaving and entering. In fact, you're always becoming. You're always in the process. And I'm talking to some people, and I can promise you, whoever I'm talking to today under the sound of my voice, you are smack dab in the middle of this principle. You are leaving one state of affairs in order to enter into another state of affairs. And this morning, the Lord said, I want you to speak on this because there's some people sitting in front of you that are going through a transition that they don't understand. It could be that broken engagement that brings you here today. It could be the loss of that job. It could be the alteration of that dream. It could be that you are finding yourself leaving a person, a place, or a thing in order to enter into a new phase of your life. And loved one, let me tell you, if you don't know how to handle leaving and entering this fundamental principle, you're not going to be successful. You know, we're going to really hit on one point this morning with regard to leaving and entering. It is the fundamental principle of change that we see in the Bible. It is the principle that is enacted right now in your life. You are in transition. And in our culture and in our time, this is an especially relevant word because we are in transition. Transition means you've walked out of one hotel room and you're standing in the hallway and the other hotel room has not opened on the other side and you're standing. The winds of change are blowing, and change is a dirty word, especially to Christians. I don't know about you, but I don't like change. I like to have everything predictable. I like to have everything solid. I like to have control over absolutely everything that goes on in my life. And all you liars said, amen. I know that you want control too. Just talk to the person next to you. You want to have some measure of control. And you know, in the kingdom of God, we've surrendered control to Christ. You forgot you prayed that at the altar. Oh, Lord, take control. Watch what you pray. He's in control anyway, but when you formally give him control of your life, that means that you're the chess piece and he is the chess master, and you are going to go anywhere on the board he decides to put you. And don't worry, he'll always keep his hand on you. He isn't taking his hand off of you. But I'm way over here. He knows the barren field you seem to be standing in, and dig a few feet down. There's a treasure. There's an undisclosed treasure that's waiting for you this year. I really do believe that parable of Jesus. He said the kingdom is like a man who's plowing, and boom, he runs into a treasure. He runs into something of such value that he sells everything he has. He buys that land, and it's just a hidden joy in his heart. He knows what's buried there. Imagine digging in barren ground and finding $50 million worth of diamonds, and nobody knows but you. And then you go out and buy that land for $50,000, you know, and you're still bargaining, you know, $50,000. I mean, my gosh, in this economy, you know, you're nervous, tick, because you know there's such a treasure. And loved one, I believe God's wanting to instill in us a joy and an anticipation and a hope for good things ahead, just ahead. But you got to leave the past state of affairs in order to enter into the next state of affairs. And so all of life is leaving and entering. But the second point, how we leave dictates how we enter into the next state of affairs. How you leave that situation behind, whether you're leaving a relationship, a friendship, a church, a job, how you leave dictates how you enter into the next state of affairs. If you leave that state of affairs with bitterness in your heart, I promise you, you will carry that bitterness into the new state of affairs that God leads you to. Someone say amen. If you're bitter and you have unresolved issues in that relationship and you've been so wounded and so hurt, if you don't get that dealt with, you're going to carry the seeds of bitterness and all your former wounds into the next state of affairs, and you're going to poop in your Easter basket on that side of Jordan. The only common denominator in all your bad relationships is you. Well, Sally didn't understand, and Betty just wasn't affectionate, and Jeannie was stupid, and It's you. We've seen the enemy, and the enemy is us. Loved one, there's no mystery to our history. There's no mystery to our history. It's time that we allow God to assist us in leaving appropriately the people, places, and things we're leaving in order that we can enter in for the first time. You know the old principle, you've heard it for years, recover or repeat. Recover or repeat. If you don't recover, you will repeat. Well, last week we talked about circularity. We talked about going around and around the mountain. And around, if this church was paid for laps, we'd be millionaires. I'd be in my prayer jet right now, not around you people. I'd pray for you, maybe, if I felt led. Touch that little piece of paper you handed me on the way to my jet when my bodyguards knocked you over. I'm sorry about that, but I might think about you. Circularity. If you don't recover, you repeat. And all of life is leaving and entering, but how we leave dictates how we enter into the new state of affairs. So we're going to talk about some principles today, and they might overlap into next week. I'm not going to rush this because I need to give some hope to some people that are in transition this morning. You need some hope today and some direction and some guidance and some wisdom. Take heart, loved one. God's in charge of the leaving and entering that you're experiencing right now in your life. There's leaving and entering going on in the political world, in the spiritual world, in the financial world. Don't be worried. God is over all, and He's sovereign over all, and He is the one who is in absolute control of your leaving and entering. So calm down. We project so much on God. I don't know what the answer is, therefore God doesn't know what the answer is. Oh, sweetheart. I'm confused, therefore God must be confused. I'm going to pray for God. You don't need to pray for God. He is in sovereign control. He's the chess master. He's ordaining all concerning the leaving and entering in your life. So I want to give some principles with regard to how to leave in order to how to enter into a new state of affairs. And the first principle we need to understand is that crisis is inevitable. When you are leaving in order to enter into a new state of affairs, crisis is inevitable. All throughout the Bible, as God, just preceding God leading His people into a new state of affairs, there's always a crisis. Remember the children of Israel, 400 years in Egyptian bondage. All they've known, the harsh taskmasters beating them, all they've known is an attitude of servitude. And when God broke that circularity in their lives and called them by His mighty hand to leave Egypt in order that they might enter into a new state of affairs, there was, preceding that leaving and entering, a crisis. It was a little thing called the Red Sea. Remember, God's bringing them out, and there's the Red Sea in front of them, unsplit at this moment, and Pharaoh and all of his armies behind them. Now, can you imagine, faced with the Red Sea and behind you Pharaoh's swords, what are your options here? Well, they could run us through, or they could run us through and then drown us just before we die of the blade wounds, or we could drown. Or, loved one, sometimes you are facing a situation and you say, I know, Craig, I'm leaving something, but I don't see what I'm entering into. Hold on, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I just feel to tell some people today, Exodus 14:13, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He'll deliver you and you'll hold your peace. I love that. He said to Moses, you shut up and watch me move, in the Craig Johnson version. Sometimes it's time to shut up and quit talking about, we don't know anything anyway, but just the, you know what? Hold your peace, God said to Moses. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All of life is leaving and entering. They were leaving the land of their bondage, but notice there was preceded a crisis. They hit the Red Sea, and they were in a position where only God could make a way. Loved one, only God can make a way when there is no way. You can't lean on the arm of flesh. You don't have rich relatives to call on the phone and give a word to so they might like you and give some money to you. Do you know people always give their money to the gift ministries, the Shondai ministries? You know, I saw you and a piece of cheese, and you were standing in the cheese, and the Lord said, yeah, Jesus loves you. Oh, and they'll give them $100,000. when they were on the way here, you know. Crisis is inevitable. When we're leaving, in order to enter in, remember this principle, crisis is inevitable. Don't be shaken. There was always a crisis that preceded entering into what God's inheritance was. Last week we found the children of Israel, even at the end of 40 years, before they crossed the Jordan and went from the wrong side to the right side of Jordan, that there was a crisis there. Crisis is inevitable. Don't throw your hands in the air and don't pull your hair out when you come into some crisis, because transition and crisis go together. Amen? Well. Ever seen one of the, I remember the when our guys went to the moon. I was alive back then. I was in East Elementary School in Ankeny, Iowa. And what I remember is watching them come back into the Earth's atmosphere. You know, that's an exhausting process. It's real hot when you're re-entering Earth's atmosphere. Things get shaky, right? There's blackout. There's no communication for a period of time. And you're getting everything shaken out of you. But then there's that moment where you come through, and you come through the crisis, and you leave the former state of affairs, and you enter into the new state of affairs. Hold on, loved one. I don't know what it is that you're leaving. But if you will not leave the state of affairs God is sending you out from, He will make sure that you leave. Isn't that lovely? Well, I just don't feel led to leave. You never feel led to. You wouldn't get up in the morning if you feel led. So He will anoint someone to help you. See, sometimes you lose that job, or that engagement is broken, or that friendship has let you down, because we're those little eaglet chicks and we don't ever want to get out of the nest. If we had our vote in the democracy, we would never leave the down warmth. Right? So sometimes, like the mama eagle, God just starts pecking at the nest, pulling it to pieces, destroying the down, and throwing you off a cliff with a 10,000-foot drop. Now, how could a God of love? You tell me. Oh, a God of love. Oh, well, because He loves you. That's why He might have to kick you out of where you are so that you will leave. See, if you won't leave, I guarantee you will leave, because the door will shut. Just keep your dignity in Christ and start obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Just start leaving. I think it's time to leave. It is, because He'll just throw you out. He'll catapult you out, right? And that's not as dignified as if you look spiritual and say, "Behold, we go forth not knowing where we go, but we shall follow His voice wherever." Yeah, uh-huh. Look spiritual. When you're leaving, in order to enter into a new state of affairs, crisis is inevitable. So there's always a crisis. So don't let the winds of change frighten you today. Someone say amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't be like everybody else who's weeping without any hope or comfort. God brought them through the Red Sea. God will bring you from the place He's leading you out of. Do you remember the word in Psalm 34:19? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord has delivered them out of them all. Isaiah 43:2, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. When you walk through the water, it's not going to overflow you. He's going to be there to deliver you through this crisis. Hold on, you're leaving in order that you might enter into a new state of affairs. It's going to be wonderful. And if you don't want to leave, trust me, you will leave. He'll use that pagan boss to fire your butt because you want. I've got a dear friend of mine, and he's a faithful man, and he's a godly man, and he loves the Lord, and there's nothing morally wrong in his life, and he just got laid off of his job. Well, that hit him in a very profound way. And yet I said, you know, you were so faithful and loyal, you never would have left, would you? He said, absolutely not. I said, so God had to boot you out. It's leaving and entering. Wake up and smell the Bible. It's the fundamental principle of change we see in the Scriptures. And He'll even drop kick you out over the goalpost of heaven into a new state of affairs. Amen? Because He loves you. You know, and He'll use a dirty bird. He fed Elijah with a dirty bird. He'll use a non-Christian to help you leave something. My God wouldn't make nobody leave no one. Yeah. Well, maybe you better just throw him away and get the real one. Yes, He will. He'll throw you, little eaglet chick, right out of your nest, appears to be to your death. But on the way down, you'll find those little appendages in your back and find out what they're for, and you will fly. Amen. But we love comfort. We love the old. Even Jesus said, even listen to the Son of God, everyone that tasteth new wine says, nay, the old is better. Well, that's a good authority for me. Everyone. Not some of you dance ones and the rest of us go, oh, new wine, Your Majesty, this is magnificent. Everyone who tastes new wine says, nay, the old is better. That means you. That means whenever God helps you leave or uses a dirty bird to get you out of where you are, or you won't believe what happened to me. And yeah, I do believe it. You wouldn't leave. You had to be thrown out, you know? See, my whole life has been like a man that has been pushed down 7 flights of stairs. Oh, God, Jesus. And somehow, by his mercy alone, I've helped somebody and pushed one domino that hit another thing. And he, by mercy, has brought something and some coherent thing out of it. And but that's all I've done is just, oh, there he goes again, you know, knocking people over with rows of books. It's a wonderful film. It's the Jerry Lewis anointing. I'm proud of it. But when you won't leave, he'll make sure that you leave. And he will use non-Christians to push you down the stairs. He'll use anything he's got. He'll use a devil to push you down the stairs. He has to get you out of where you've been. I'll die before I leave this relationship. Oh. Uh-oh. Don't want to say that. Ain't no three-headed God gonna tell me what to do. Ooh. You're gonna leave. But notice, whatever you're leaving, it's only to enter into a new state of affairs. It's only to leave the good and get into the best. We've been praying for the best. We've been satisfied with the good. God's got to get us out. So crisis is inevitable. But the second thing, listen, forgiveness is essential. When you're leaving one state of affairs to enter into the next state of affairs, forgiveness is essential. You must release the debt of all the bitterness and all the unforgiveness. And you've got to, if you're leaving a person, if you're leaving a place, if you're leaving a thing, if you do not release the debt, if you do not forgive, then you will take the seeds of unforgiveness from where you're leaving into the new state of affairs. And again, you'll poop in your Easter basket there and you won't recover. You're going to repeat. And loved one, I see people going from relationship to relationship to bad choice to bad choice to bad choice, recover or repeat, recover or repeat. Recover. There's a worship song in there somewhere, isn't there? There's a mantra. Meditate with that. Recover or repeat. Ask yourself every day, is the sign of my life a circle or a spiral? The sign of the Christian life isn't to be a circle. It's to be a spiral, where when you go around the mountain once, you go up a level. Some of us have just been sheep going in a circle and in ruts. You know, a rut is simply a grave with both ends open. Circularity creates ruts. Spirals, that's what God's doing this year. Where every time we exhaust ourselves going around once, we've gone up a little bit. Amen? Recover or repeat. So when we're leaving, in order to enter in, crisis is inevitable. But secondly, forgiveness is essential. You know, releasing the debt, unforgiveness, if someone's ever harmed you in any way, shape, or form where you feel they owe me, they stole my innocence and they owe me, they stole money from me and they owe me. Whenever you feel somebody owes you something, that is holding a debt. That's where Jesus said, we've got to release that. But they hurt. Yes, they hurt you. Yes, it was horrible. Yes, they intended to. Yes, it's worse than we could ever imagine. And yes, Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and tenderhearted one to another, forgiving one another even as Christ has forgiven you. See, it doesn't mean they're not worthy of death. They may be worthy of death. I know you're worthy of death. The issue is Jesus forgave you everything just because you asked him. How dare you hold a $20 hurt against a brother or sister? Jesus tells the story in Matthew chapter 18 of a man, it's incalculable, he could owe his master $8 billion, and the master forgave him because he asked. And then that guy who would forgive him went out and found a guy that owed him 20 bucks, and he grabbed him by the neck and said, pay me all. And the man said, I don't have it. He said, then you're going to jail. And you know, when the master heard about it, he said, bring that wicked servant to me. He said, I forgave you your entire debt, and you find a guy that owes you 20 bucks. Now you're going to go into bondage. Loved one, it's our time to release the debts against any person, places. I don't care what your daddy did. I don't care what your mama did. I don't care what they did, and they probably did. We forgive not because they're worthy of it. We forgive because we were unworthy when Christ forgave the whole thing. Someone say amen. Crisis is inevitable when we're leaving in order to enter in. Forgiveness is essential. If we do not, remember, how you leave is how you enter in. If you are so wounded from that past relationship and you hate all women and I'll never trust a man, I'll never trust a woman, if you don't release that debt, you're going to carry that into to the next bar you wind up in. Huh? How you leave dictates how you enter in. If you leave that church and your issues are unresolved, you're going to go into every church with those seeds of bitterness, and guess what? You won't last 6 months. There's no mystery to your history. There's no mystery to my history. All of your life is leaving and entering. It is the fundamental principle of change. How you leave dictates how you enter in. And know, when you're leaving and entering, crisis is inevitable. Forgiveness is essential. But third, realize that God, not man, is your source. When you are in transition, you must realize, now there's nothing wrong with caring others. There's nothing wrong with the safe people God's brought into our life. There's nothing wrong with Uncle Bob who might help you out financially. But when you're in transition, when you're leaving one state of affairs, going into the other one, God must be your source. 2 Chronicles 32:8 says, with them are the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. You know, when you're leaving in order to enter in, you're tempted to lean on the arm of flesh. The first thing you're tempted to do is to manage the situation. How much do we have in the savings? Is Uncle Bob, can he give us a loan? Who's rich in my family? Who knows someone who's rich? And we start, you know, running. We take over the chessboard and we start grabbing all the pieces and we try to control everything. Loved one, when you're in transition, you have to remember God is your source. We are not leaning on the arm of flesh. Jeremiah 17:5 says, cursed be he who leans and makes flesh his arm. Now, that doesn't mean you can't receive help from God's chosen people that are sent to you. What it does mean is you don't make a God out of your human connections, because guess what? They won't be there in transition. They won't be there for you in crisis. The phone won't ring. They won't return your call. They've moved. Or maybe they haven't, but they just told you they moved. When you're in transition, when you're leaving one state of affairs in order to enter into the new state of affairs, remember that God is your source, not flesh. And I know that's easier said than done. That's something I've had to live for almost 30 years. I'm telling you, loved one, there's nothing more glorious than living by faith, and there's nothing more difficult than living by faith. But I'll tell you what, if you never live by faith, when it's, faith is all that you've got, you never have a chance to see God step in and deliver you. I pity those who are born with a silver spoon in their mouth and have never had to believe God for anything, because they never see him show up. They never require him in his potter's hands to be so close to shaping their lives. You know, the clay loves the potter's hands and the potter's touch. I don't know about you. I want to be on the potter's wheel. I want to feel the intimacy of his hand in my life. I want to feel his hand sculpting my life. I want to get to where I have, if he doesn't come through, I'm a dead man. If he doesn't come through, everything I have in this world has been given to me by his grace. And there's a beauty about trusting in him. People talk about it, but you pray one way with 100 grand in the bank, and you pray another way 100 grand in debt. When you have 100 grand in the bank, it's, Father, we're so grateful. And when you're 100 grand in debt, Jesus, God, help me, God. When you get thrown out of a light airplane, you don't need a prayer seminar. You need my 35-tape seminar. You'll be a black belt in prayer. And that serves as an introduction to the levels of prayer. The levels of prayer. Prayer in your body type. Pastor Rick and I one time were in a restaurant with two ladies, and they had informed us that they were now in the 5th level of intercession. He sort of looked at me, I looked at him, and later we left, and Rick went, I wasn't aware there were 5 levels of intercession. I said, well, I knew that all the time. Oh, Lord. You don't need all that when you're throwing out of a light aircraft. You catch up real quick on your prayer life, don't you, on the way down? See, you pray one way with 100 grand in the bank. You pray one way 100 grand in debt. You know what I'm talking about. Faith isn't faith till it's all you have. And when you're in transition, God must be your source. It can't be flesh, or you'll never know if he delivered you. You'll never know. When nobody knows your situation and you're biting your nails and you're pacing the floor and you're chain smoking or you're pulling out what's left of your hair. Trust me, it doesn't work. He's not impressed with that. I did that already. But he's the 11th hour God. Come on, it gets down to gets down. He's never early, but he's never late. Oh, my Lord. You just wipe the sweat off the brow. We've been living where we are now 29 times we've had to pay that rent, and 29 times it got paid, and I don't know how most times. But you know what? He's faithful. But you got to make him your point of trust. In transition, you cannot trust man as your source. You've got to realize that God is your source. Psalm 118, verse 9 says, trust in the Lord. Do not have confidence in the flesh. Oh, loved one, I'm telling you. There's something beautiful about seeing him open the way before you when there is no way. That touches you in a way, in such a profound way. Makes you feel so loved. Now, the preamble to that is usually acid stomach reflux, excessive nail biting, and then engaging in multiple cross addictions. But he comes through. He's always faithful. You know, in John chapter 11, I'm reminded, you know, God sometimes loves us enough to be late. Mary and Martha sent Jesus an email and said, Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. Now you stop all your big meetings and you get back here to your true supporters. We're in your little black book. We've been here when no one's been here. Get over here and heal Lazarus. Sometimes we want a healing from Jesus and he wants to give us a miracle. Sometimes we want some low-level blessing and he wants to give us a high-level blessing, but that means he's got to love us enough to be late. And you know what? He let Lazarus die, rigor mortis, stink, die. And then he came into town. And those women vibed him up a storm. Well, son of Almighty God. Well, come on in. Oh, what's that smell? Dinner cooking for your ministry? No, our brother's dead. And if you would have been here, this wouldn't have happened. How many of you know sometimes he lets it go from bad to worse and then he lets it die? Because only God can only raise dead things. Lord, give us your resurrection power. Father, well, it's got to be dead before he can raise it from the dead. Watch what you're praying. I remember Betty one time prayed over somebody. She said, Lord, send 10,000 angels to them today. And I said, well, B, that's enough to destroy every universe God ever made. Let's stick with one who could kill 180,000 Assyrians in one night. But Betty prayed, I believe it was 10,000 or 10 legioners or whatever it was. I'm sure God did it too. Someone's little Volkswagen all of a sudden was covered by a swarm of angelic hosts. Then they died of a heart attack, so I don't know. Anyway, let her pray for you. What was I saying? Thanks, Dennis. In conclusion, no, I was not in conclusion. That means nothing around these parts. What? Oh, yeah. Okay. Gretchen's little issues popped up right there. Don't trust any men. Oh, okay. Thanks for listening so closely to the content, everyone. I hope you give better than you listen. But John 11 is where I was. John 11, he loves you enough to be late. I don't know about you, but sometimes he's been late in my life from my perspective. But he'll let it die. He'll let your dream die. He'll let your vision die. He'll let your hope die. And then he comes and raises it from the dead and he gives you something altogether superior than what you were expecting. They wanted a healing, but Jesus wanted to do a miracle, which required a dead thing. So he'll raise things from the dead only after they die. There's some things in our life he's trying to kill. The only good flesh is dead flesh. See, there are areas where he's putting us up on the cross. And there's flesh in us he's crucifying. And we feel so sorry for people that we come, oh, they're hanging. What God would hang someone on a cross? And we pull out the nails, take them down, nurse them back to health, and then he takes them and nails them right back up on the cross again. Loved one, it's got to die before he can raise it from the dead. And be encouraged. Sometimes he loves you enough to be late. So you remember that he is our source in the midst of transition. I want to close with just one more, and then we'll pick this up next week. While leaving, in order to enter in, crisis is inevitable. Forgiveness is essential. Believing that God is your source and not flesh, but fourth, trust in the sovereignty of God. When we are leaving, in order to enter into a new state of affairs, we must trust in the sovereignty of God. Psalm 135:6, the Lord in heaven does all that he pleases. Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Loved one, nothing ever takes God by surprise. And your situation, it could be the broken engagement, it could be losing a job, it could be a failed marriage, it could be whatever you're leaving right now. Remember, how you leave will dictate how you enter in. But in the midst of your leaving and entering, remember that God is sovereignly in charge. That means you may not know where this fits right now in your life. He knows where it fits. Isn't it comforting to know he has a plan, whether you know it or not? There's a difference between God having a plan and you knowing what it is. Well, I don't know what it is, so therefore he doesn't have a plan. Don't project you onto the heavens. He has a plan, and he has a good plan for everything. And whether we understand what that is, we need to trust in his sovereignty in the midst of transition, because he knows where it fits. You say, where could this pain possibly fit? Where could this loss possibly fit into the sovereign hand of God? Loved one, he is the one who says, I give you beauty in place of ashes. Give me the ashes of your life. Ashes are a symbol of what used to be. A relationship that used to be that is no more. A dream that used to be that is no more. A hope that used to be and is no more. Jesus is the only one who can say, ashes, no problem. Bring them to me, and he will give you an exchange, and he will give you beauty for your ashes. Whatever you're leaving right now, whether you've chosen to leave or not, or you've been drop-kicked out, God knows where that fits right now. Crisis is inevitable. Forgiveness is essential. You must trust in God as your source, not flesh, but know God is sovereign. You've heard me say it a million times, but I'm going to say it again. I know why I can't know why, but I don't know why. But I'd rather know why I can't know why and not know why than to just not know why. I know why I can't know why, because I'm finite and he's infinite. I've got a pea brain. He knows all things. So I know why I can't know why, but I don't know why. But I'd rather know why I can't know why and not know why than just not know why. And everybody said, what? Who's on first? Think it through. Loved one, I don't know why that happened to you. I don't know why in your leaving and entering that you this horror happened. I don't know why, but I know why I can't know why. I'm a pea brain. God can't give me all information. My brain would explode. He can't download his infinite mind into my finite computer file. We're asking him to put the Pacific Ocean in a thimble. Some of these prayers we're praying. Lord, bless my ranch garden. May it produce. And in Jesus' name, put the Pacific Ocean in my thimble. Now! Guess what? Ain't it going to happen. Get that negative confession and take it right out to the devil where it belongs. Pacific Ocean in my thimble. In Jesus' name. Ranch garden! Pabloof! You know what? It's funny to watch that. And in pastoral ministry, and we pass the popcorn around and watch that too. But you know what? You can believe you receive until you're pink and blue in the face, but no wrench garden is going to produce any apples for your family. Sorry. Certain dreams are not dreams, they're fantasies. And God only blesses his promises, not our fantasies. Someone say amen. Trust in the sovereignty of God. Trust in the sovereignty of God. All things work together. It didn't say God commands all things in your life. It says whatever's happening in your life, he enters into everything, and he has an intended focus. He has a plan. And whether you know a place for this situation, he's got a place for it in his heart. Job 42 tells us he can do all things. See, there's a reason for this loss. There's a reason for this leaving, and I don't know what it is. But thank God I know why I don't know why, but I don't know why. Isn't that a comfort? We're one step ahead of the game. If we know why, we can't know why and not know why. But it doesn't help us know why. But I know why I can't know why. And so what I do nowadays is I remember the Pacific Ocean thimble analogy, and I go, you know what? Sometimes I'm asking God to do things like that, and don't get hung by the why not. Okay? Don't get hung by that. Well, why? Until God tells me why, I'm not taking another step forward. You know what? You know what? You don't need to know why. Do not mix a kid in its mother's milk. Old Testament. If you're a Jewish believer, you don't mix a, don't cook a baby in its mother's milk. Why? I have no idea. Nobody knows why. Look at 16 different Bible commentaries. They all disagree because it's impure and it's immoral and it's unclean and it's hard, doubly hard to digest. We don't know why, but we know what. Loved one, in your life, you know enough what, that is what to do. You don't need to ask the why. Until I know why, I can't do the what. Yes, you can do the what. Just don't boil a kid in his mother's milk. That's the what. Forget the why. Don't get hung in the why not. You see people who have taken side roads and are 10 years and they've gone nowhere in their life because they're trying to wait until God tells them why. Some things you will never know this side of heaven. I don't know why your baby died. I don't know why your husband left you. I don't know why your wife left you. You're so doggone attractive. I don't know why you had that financial reversal, but there is a sovereign God who we can trust in the middle of transition, and he's always faithful. And he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. And lo, he said, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We don't need to know the answer to everything. We don't need to know why. We know who. We know who. Father, we thank you this morning. We take comfort in the fact that you know what's going on and that you have a plan, whether we understand the plan or not. Lord, thank you that crisis is inevitable and you're going to split the Red Sea for us, Lord. And that when we come upon an immovable wall, you're going to make a way, even if we can't even see it. If there are swords behind us, water in front of us, and no helicopter to take us out, you're going to make a way. We'll hold our peace and we will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that forgiveness is essential. We're not going to live with our bitterness anymore. We're not going to live with us, you owe me anymore. We're not going to live with just every thought of a person, place, or thing and causing pain in our hearts. We choose to leave and to leave and let bury with the past and let sink with the past all the seeds of bitterness and unforgiveness, oh God. Forgive us and cleanse us. You've forgiven us everything just because we asked, Jesus. We cannot hold a $20 hurt. We release the past and the debts. And we let those stay behind us as we leave. And we let it sink like the Titanic, Lord. All of those formerly unforgiven issues, we just release all unforgiveness issues in Jesus' name this morning. And we trust your blood to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for holding so many debts. Forgive us for acting like we're sinless. Forgive us, Lord, for wanting justice for others when we only want mercy for ourselves. And so, Lord, we just right now know you're going to bring us through the crisis. You're going to release us from all of our debts of unforgiveness. And Lord, we thank you. You're going to be our strength in this time. You're going to be the arm of our strength. You're going to be the one who provides. You're the one, not the arm of flesh, Lord, not the best laid plans of mice and men. And we thank you, Lord, we do trust in your sovereignty. God, we're going to dare this morning to believe that whatever this transition is, it fits somewhere in your sovereign plan. We don't know how you weave the tapestries together. We don't know how all the dominoes hit the other dominoes that work everything to your purpose and your will. But we embrace by faith in this morning that, God, you are in charge. You're in sovereign control. You're supervising all of our leaving and entering. And we will leave successfully. And we will enter into the new state of affairs successfully. And we will see the fulfillment of all your dreams and destinies for our lives. Doesn't matter what age we are. Doesn't matter where we've been. Doesn't matter what we look like as we're leaving. We will enter successfully into the next state of affairs. We will cross the Jordan. We will fulfill our destiny in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Say it again. Amen. Give him the praise. Give him.